Hi, you're listening to my favourite Elliott Smith song. In this podcast, we try, in our own very small way, to keep Elliott Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi, and thank you very much for joining us for episode 2 of season 5. Our guest for this one is Carmen Perry from the band Remember Sports. The group formed in 2012 when Carmen and her three other bandmates were at university in Ohio, and they've gone on to release a total of 5 albums, most recently a record called Like a Stone, which came out last year. Carmen has been a big Elliott Smith fan since she was a teenager, searching out indie music on download sites, and she immediately connected with his songs when she discovered them. So in this interview, we discuss that Elliott Smith origin story, how he made the piano cool for her, and of course, we chat in depth about her favourite song pick too. I'm a big fan of Remember Sports, so it was great to have Carmen on the podcast, and I really hope you enjoy listening to this conversation. Here's Carmen Perry.
Hi, I'm Carmen Perry. I play in Remember Sports. It was a really tough choice. I went through a lot of options. I made a list that just seemed to keep getting longer and longer, but I went with my first thought when you first asked me to be on the podcast, which was Pizzola.
I'll tell you why I don't wanna know where you are. I got a joke I've been dying to tell you.
I feel very haunted by that song in like a good way. I think something that has always really drawn me to Elliott's music is the repetition of the guitars that happens a lot, or just repetition in general. I feel like the guitar in Pizzola is just one of those guitar sounds that just get stuck in your head on loop over and over again. And like I can, and I have listened to it on repeat over and over again, and it just like doesn't get boring. But yeah, it's also like a very a sad song, but in a way that's sort of, I don't know, like the thing about Elliott's music is that it's not like resigned to its sadness. It just sort of like is about the sadness of life in general. Yeah, I don't know. I think it just kind of is a perfect song to me.
The silent kid is looking down the barrel to make the noise that I kept so quiet. I kept it from you, Pizzola.
What do you kind of take the song to mean?
I hadn't thought about it a lot until I thought about it for this podcast. And I mean, I guess it's, you know, probably about some former love or relationship that just didn't work out. And I think that there's a lot of anger that comes out in the song, but it's not like a burning hot anger. It's kind of like a quiet anger, and just like a lot of his songs are just very quiet and, I don't know, not very intrusive in their nature, if that makes sense, but just like kind of there and repeating themselves and just going through the motions of what it means to feel.
I'm not what's missing from your life now. I could never be the puzzle pieces. They say that God makes problems just to see what you can stand for you to, as the devil pleases. Give up the thing you love.
I think it was actually written for JJ Gonson, his former girlfriend.
I heard that on a former episode of the show.
yeah, with Marissa Nadler.
Yeah, exactly.
And like you mentioned, it was a there's some sadness there as well, as we were talking about before. Do you think it's one of his sadder songs? To me, it feels like one of his sadder songs, at least.
Yeah, I guess in the grand scheme of things, it is maybe the most technically one of the most technically sad songs. I always feel like he's gotten kind of a bad reputation for like being sad boy music, when as you and I both know, it's like way more than that. But yeah, it's like sad without, Pitzel is sad without being like cloying or like especially dark even. I don't know, it just like is such a singular sounding song to me. It's like not really one thing, you know.
And he sort of seems to be sorry in the song in a way, when he's saying like no one deserves it and that kind of thing.
Yeah, like no one deserves it. It seems like he is, I've always I guess felt like he's sort of recognizing his part in whatever relationship this was going south, and you know, there's no blame being placed, maybe on himself, but not really on the other person. I feel like that's something I kind of tend to write about a lot too, is like feeling guilty and placing blame on myself for things. I've just always been very, very haunted by this song.
The song that, one song of yours I really like is the song Nothing's Coming Out. And that feeling, the feeling that you were talking about there of kind of like resignation is something that I, when I listen to that song of yours, is maybe that's not what you intended, but what that feels like to me is like the feeling of the end of a relationship, when like both of you are kind of resigned to it ending, but can't really put the words into practice.
Yeah, I think that's something that I write about a lot. And I think that's why I got into music in the first place. It's just like, it's where I put feelings that feel like they have no resolution in life, you know. It's just like, okay, this is something that happened, this is how I feel, and that just like, you know, there's nothing to do but like cry about it or scream about it or sing about it. And I feel like that's something that I saw in Elliot Smith's music and have really like has stuck with me a lot.
One thing that I always think about, I think about that song, is when the piano comes in, when he's singing No One Deserves It. What do you make of that?
Yeah, oh, I love that part. I've never been a really, I've never been one to really care about bridges of songs that much. And I like what he does here in the song with the bridge, just kind of one line that's out of the normal repetition of the rest of the song. No one deserves it, or you, or this. I forget. And then just goes right back into it with that piano solo, and it's just such a great moment. It's just a very short, you know, departure from the rest of the song, and then just the piano. And I think I feel like EXO to me is the most piano heavy album, maybe I just think of it that way, but yeah, I just love what he does. I think EXO is maybe my favorite album of his, and I love what he does with the piano.
You go so far, like, to say that.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like, I don't know, I grew up playing piano like as my first instrument, or one of my first, and I don't know, I just never thought it was that cool, really. But I feel like the way that he plays it, when I was a teen and first heard it, I was like, yes, this is a cool way to have piano music in your songs.
No one deserves it.
I don't think it was really ever played live very much. There's like one or two recordings available. Do you think that adds to the kind of mystique of it?
I think probably, yeah. And I I don't know. I've thought a lot about what it would be like to see Elliott Smith live, but I haven't actually watched that many videos. And I don't know. I think that this wouldn't be a song that I don't think that he would play for like a really, really big crowd, right? Because it's like, seems very intimate and reserved. And I don't know, it's like piano. Like, I don't think a lot of guitar bands really tour with pianos. But yeah, it just like, I don't know, it doesn't feel to me like a song that's meant to be played in like a really big room, like in a stadium or at the Oscars or whatever. Like, it just feels like a quiet song for like maybe one or two other people listening to it, but yeah, mostly just for yourself. I think that's what I like about it. It sounds like a song that he's just singing for himself.
So you said EXO was kind of probably your favorite album. Do you have a kind of album ranking?
I don't have a ranking, but I have been listening to all the albums recently in the last few weeks since you asked me to do this. And I don't know, I think New Moon is also one of my favorites. It's got Talking to Mary and Angel in the Snow. Also, the Big Star cover, 13. Is really good. And I know that it's not, I mean, I know now that it's not like a finished album. I didn't know that at the time when I was first getting into Elliott Smith.
So where were you when you first discovered his music?
Well, I am 28 now, and I think I first discovered his music when I was 17 in high school, back in the days of like Mediafire and Soulseek. I was just, you know, downloading anything I could get my hands on. I was like into indie music, for the first time. And, yeah, I just did a lot of Googling, and it was, you know, really easy to just type albums you found into a search bar and download them. And that felt very, liberating. So I don't really remember how I came across Elliott Smith, but I think probably just his name came up among other names that I liked, and I just really connected with his music. It felt like sort of unlike anything else, even though it was like, you know, he had a lot of connections to artists I was already listening to. But yeah, I actually didn't know he was dead until later. I feel like I probably Googled something like Elliott Smith show New York when and I remember like seeing on Google, because I think it was like 2010 or something, and New Moon, you know, says that it came out in 2007. So I remember like finding out that he was dead after listening to his music for a while and like feeling very like affected by it. I don't know. I feel like I sort of had a weird relationship with his music, thinking that this was someone who was still making music and feeling excited to like hear more from him, and then finding out that I would not.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's quite a shock. And were you playing music at that time as well, or was that a little bit before?
I was playing music. I was writing songs, but I was doing it privately. I was really shy growing up, and I started playing guitar when I was 15 and writing songs, but I never really saw it as anything more than just something I would do to sort through emotions and just sort of do for fun. And it wasn't till later when I was in college that I even considered playing them for other people, let alone like being in a band or recording them. So that came much later. When I got into Elliott Smith, I was still very much a songwriter for myself over anybody else.
Do you think that he has any influences in how you approach your work, either, you know, back then or now with your band?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the music I listened to when I was that age, and just so in love with music and what it seemed to do for me and other people. I think all those things that I was listening to really have affected me and stuck with me as a musician into my adulthood now. I think that, I don't know, there's something so special about being a teenager and having big emotions and not knowing what to do with them and not knowing who you are as a person, and then coming across albums and songs that just like feel like coming home and feeling so heard and so seen by somebody that you don't know. And you know, like now as an adult, I discover new music and it, you know, it'll never do the same things that it did to me when I was a teen. So yeah, I feel like eternally sort of stuck with the influences that I had when I was that age. And that definitely includes Elliott Smith.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you say about how music affects you much more as a teenager than it does now. Definitely, like, those memories come flooding back as soon as you hear a song that you were into back then.
Yeah, for sure.
if there was any sort of remember sports song or songs that you kind of see parallels to Elliott Smith with, what would they be, or are there any?
That's a good question. I feel like I make pretty different music than Elliott Smith, and there's a reason for that. I don't know. I feel like in my life, I'm not very loud. I'm pretty quiet. I think I started, when I first started playing in the band, I think my thought process was like, okay, they can't turn the microphone up any louder, so I'm just going to have to yell in order to be heard at all. And that just sort of started off being my sound as a live musician. I think when I'm by myself and when I'm writing or just, you know, playing through thoughts or feelings or memories or whatever, I usually tend to play on acoustic guitar and sing pretty quietly. So I feel like there's a sort of big difference in the way I perform and the way I sort of write or just exist by myself as a musician. And I feel like, I don't know, the way that I am by myself is more closely aligned with how Elliott is. And I don't know. I think what I do is I write songs that way and then later translate them into bigger sounds and louder sounds and faster sounds, because that just felt like the only way I could really be heard.
First time I saw you, I knew it would never last. I'm not half what I wish I was. I'm so angry, I don't think it'll ever pass. And I was bad news for you, just because I never meant to hurt you.
One line that always sticks with me is, I'm so angry, I don't think it'll ever pass. And I don't know why. I think going back to feeling haunted by this song, I think it just like is such a quietly angry song that just really spoke to me when I was a teenager. Like feeling angry but feeling resigned to it. I don't know, I feel like, I don't know, people always talk about how sad or depressing Elliott Smith's music is. I feel like boiling any music down to like one single emotion just does such a disservice to the art of music in general. Because it's like, I don't know, we play music, we make music because it's an expression of emotions that like there are no words for, you know. And I don't know. I just think it's much more than just being sad music or happy music or whatever, you know. It's much more than one singular feeling.
So thank you very much to Carmen for being our second guest on this season of My Favourite Elliot Smith Song. And as always, if you want to delve deeper into any of the topics we discussed in the interview, there are links in the episode notes. Also in the episode notes is a link to subscribe to our new newsletter. Yes, once a month after two episodes of the podcast, we'll be sending out some behind-the-scenes bits and pieces, as well as other Elliot-related links we've come across. So please do sign up for that if you're interested. And finally, I want to say a huge thank you to everyone who submitted covers so far. This is the new feature that we're testing out, where we play a cover from a listener at the end of each episode. They've been fantastic to listen to, and we'll do our best to play as many as we can over the course of this season. And to help us decide which ones we go with in each episode, we're going to connect them to the guest in some way. So today we heard Carmen talking so fondly about New Moon, so I thought it was only right to play a cover from that album to close us out. Which means that this week's cover comes from Rowan in the UK, whose band Sam and Me have covered Angel in the Snow. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
I'd say you make the perfect angel in the snow, all crushed out under where you are. You better stop before you go too far. Don't you know?
My Favourite Elliot Smith Song is produced by Rob Comber and Elizabeth Woodstanley. You can find out more about the show at myfavouriteelliotsmithsong.com.